الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، in regards to the date, today is the first of Jumad al-Awwal, the first of Jumad al-Awwal 1433, which corresponds to the 23rd of March. It's a Friday, of course, 2012. And we continue our discussion on Surah An-Nisa with the tafsir of Sheikh Abdurrahman Nasir Saadi alayhi rahmatullah, Ayah 127. A'udhu billahi as-sami' al-alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. ويستفتونك في النساء قل الله يفتيكم فيهن وما يتلى عليكم في الكتاب في يتامى النساء اللاتي لا تؤتونهن ما كتب لهن وترغبون أن تنكحوهن والمستضعفين من الولدان وأن تقوموا لليتامى بالقسط وما تفعلوا من خير فإن الله كان به عليما. And a request from you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a legal ruling concerning women. Say, Allah gives you a ruling about them and about what has been recited to you in the book concerning the orphan girls to whom you do not give what is decreed for them, and yet you desire to marry them. And concerning the oppressed among children, and that you maintain for orphans their rights in justice. And whatever you do of good, indeed Allah is ever knowing of it. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, Al-istifta'u. Now, the Shaykh is going to give us the definition of istifta'. Istifta'. What's another word which you know? Fatwa. And what is the person who gives fatwa? Mufti. And what is the verb, the present tense, for the male? The present tense for the male? Yufti. Huh? Yufti. And for the female? Tufti. Right? And for the plural? Yaftuna. And if we are the people doing it? Nufti. Sahih? Nufti. So fatwa, ifta, mufti, yafti, tafti, ila akhiri, all of them have to do with that word. Istifta. And the Shaykh said, طلب السائل من المسؤول بيان الحكم الشرعي في ذلك المسؤول عنه. يا سلام. طلب السائل is the request of the questioner, the request of the questioner from the one being questioned, the clarification or the explanation of a ruling, the legal ruling in regards to that which is being asked about. The request of the questioner to the one being questioned to verify or to clarify the legal ruling in regards to the matter which is being questioned about. Clear? فأخبر عن المؤمنين أنهم يستفتون الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في حكم النساء المتعلق بهم. So Allah informed us that the believers are asking for a fatwa from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, from the Messenger of Allah, from the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, in regards to the ruling of women who are related to them, يعني issues of relevance to them, pertinent to them. فتولى الله هذه الفتوى بنفسه. So Allah took care of that fatwa by Himself. And I remember that once I was giving a talk, and then I said, this is the fatwa of Allah. And then a very, very kind and beloved brother, a student of knowledge, may Allah bless him, even though a student of knowledge, you know, and very, very knowledgeable. It's scary how knowledgeable he is, mashallah. Still, the perfection belongs to Allah. No matter how knowledgeable one can get, you can't get everything. So he said, Akhi, you said the fatwa of Allah, man, you know, you need to be careful, man. I said, why? It's in the Quran. He's like, yeah. I said, yeah. قُلِ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ. He's like, oh, subhanAllah. Sahih. Allah will give you the fatwa. So you can say it's the fatwa of Allah, because Allah said that He is the one who's going to give you the fatwa. So it skipped him. It skipped him. And so very often things like that happen. You know many things, and it may be a very basic thing that you just haven't come across, or you don't remember at the moment. Not a big deal. It's not a big deal. But the evidence is, you can say this is the fatwa of Allah. The fatwa of Allah Himself. As in, you don't need a mufti to go through the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah and be able to deduce the ruling, because the fatwa is explicit and it was issued by Allah Azza wa Jalla Himself in the revelation. So that's why the Shaykh said, فَتَوَلَّ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْفَتْوَى بِنَفْسِهِ. Allah took charge of this fatwa by Himself. فَقَالَ قُلِ اللَّهُ يُفْتِيكُمْ فِيهِنْ. Say, Allah will give you the fatwa Himself in regards to them, the females. فَاعْلَمُوا فَاعْمَلُوا عَلَى مَا أَفْتَاكُمْ بِهِ فِي جَمِيعِ شُؤُونِ النِّسَاءِ من القيام بحقوقهن وترك ظلمهن عموما وخصوصا. So then apply the fatwa of Allah which He has given you in all of the various women affairs, or all the various affairs of women, in regards to maintaining their rights and abandoning oppression. عموما وخصوصا, generally and specifically. وهذا أمر عام يشمل جميع ما شرع الله أمرا ونهيا في حق النساء الزوجات وغيرهن الصغار والكبار. This general command of Allah includes everything which Allah commanded and He forbade in regards to women, the rights of women, be it wives or whether they are young girls or old, doesn't matter. ثم خص بعد التعميم الوصية بالضعاف من اليتامى والولدان اهتماما بهم وزجرا عن التفريط في حقوقهم. Then Allah specified after that general command the admonishment in regards to the weak among the orphans and the wildan, the young boys. اهتماما بهم, as means of showing specific or special concern for them. وزجرا عن التفريط بحقوقهم, and as means of reprimanding or threatening against تفريط in their rights. Who knows what تفريط is? If you attended the lecture قيل وقال, we spoke about إفراط and تفريط. But obviously you didn't attend.
Is it a deviation?
Ifrat and tafrit. Well, I mean, give me the meaning of both. What is ifrat, what is tafrit? You hear them often by the ulama. Ifrat is extremism, overindulgence, to go beyond what is allowed, overdoing it. Tafreed is the opposite, negligence.
Division.
Ifrat and tafreed have nothing to do with division. Tafreed is negligence, carelessness, and not doing what is expected. Ifrat, going overboard. Tafrit, not making it to the destination. You're falling short. To fall short. So that's why you say, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَنْ تَقُولَ نَفْسٌ يَا حَسْرَتَا عَلَى مَا فَرَّطْتُ فِي جَنْبِ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ كُنْتُ لَمِنَ مِنَ الْوَاتِ من الساخرين. نعم. So it comes in the Quran, right? Guys, we have to work on the terminology. I'm serious, man. You guys have to this. You have to read. If you don't read enough, it's not going to happen. I know people who spend their time reading a dictionary. They read a dictionary just for the benefit of adding words. Or they read, there are a few books out there, like glossaries of da'wah terminology. It's like a special dictionary for da'wah terminology. There are at least four in the market. At least. Nice, very nice stuff. Buy one, read that. Read it, man. Read it. Become familiar with these things. They are very, very beneficial for your da'wah. If you are giving da'wah. If you're not giving da'wah, then what are you doing here? What's the point of learning and then خلاص؟ على كل حال فقال وما يتلى عليكم في الكتاب في يتامى النساء. What is recited upon you in the book in regards to the orphan women. أي ويفتيكم أيضا بما يتلى عليكم في الكتاب في شأن يتامى في شأن اليتامى من النساء. So Allah will give you the fatwa in regards to that and those, the women, the orphan women. التي لا تؤتونهن ما كتب لهن. The ones whom you do not give what has been decreed for them. وهذا إخبار عن الحالة الموجودة الواقعة في ذلك الوقت. This now is Allah giving us information about the current affairs back then. This was the prevalent, this was known and common amongst them back then, that they would not, some of them would not give the women, huh, what has been decreed for them. فَإِنَّ الْيَتِيمَ إِذَا كَانَ تَحْتْ وِلَايَةِ الرَّجُلِ بَقَسَهَا حَقَّهَا. If the orphan was under the, because the orphan is usually taken care of by someone else, صحيح, because the father's out of the picture, so some other man, uncle, or could be a relative or a neighbor, whatever, he will be the one in charge of that orphan, in a sense. Specifically, if they had wealth, someone would have to maintain that wealth until the orphan reaches an age of discretion where they see if they are sound and they can give him the wealth. Otherwise, the wealth has to be maintained by someone else. Because if someone's father died and the child is 8 years old and he inherited 10,000 riyals, for example, do you go give it to the 8-year-old child? He's going to go buy toys. So Islam says you don't give him that money until he reaches the age of understanding. Then you test them also. This is all from the Quran. Then you test them to see. So here, when an orphan girl would be under the care of a male, بَخَسَهَا حَقَّهَا, he will take away from her right. He will not fulfill her right. وَظَلَمَهَا إِمَّا بِأَكْلِ مَالِ إِمَّا بِأَكْلِ مَالِيَ الَّذِي لَهَا. And he would oppress her either by consuming her wealth, أو بعضه, or part of it, أو منعها من التزوج, or he prevent her from marriage. He will prevent her from marriage. لينتفع بمالها خوفا من استخراجه من يده إن زوجها. So he can benefit from her wealth, being afraid that if he gives her in marriage, the wealth which is with him will go to her. Huh? نعم أو يأخذ من صهرها الذي تتزوج به أو يأخذ منه من صهرها الذي تتزوج به بشرط أو غيره هذا إذا كان راغبا عنها. Or that this now, or that the person whom she marries has a condition also to take part of the wealth or something like that. He's afraid anyways he will lose the wealth. This is if he had no interest in her. يعني if he's not interested in marrying her himself. أو يرغب فيها وهي ذات جمال هذا إذا كان راغبا عنها أو يرغب فيها وهي ذات جمال وما لا يقسط من مهرها. Or that if he has a desire for her and she's beautiful and she's got wealth, he doesn't deal with her justly in her dowry. Yeah, and if he has interest to marry her because she's beautiful, she's got money, then he doesn't do justice in regards to her dowry. بل يعطيها دون ما تستحق. But rather he gives her lesser than what she deserves. Lesser than what she deserves. فكل هذا ظلم. All of this is oppression. يدخل تحت هذا النص and is understood or is included in this text. All of these forms of oppression are included in this text. ولهذا قال وترغبون أن تنكحوهن. You have the desire to marry them. أي ترغبون عن نكاحهن أو في نكاحهن كما ذكرنا تمثيلا. Meaning either you're not interested in marrying them, so he doesn't let her get married so he can keep the money, or he's interested in marrying her, he doesn't give her dowry she deserves. He doesn't get, how do you know how much dowry does what deserve?
Is there a specific?
No? Is there a computation for that formula?
What?
Is there like some formula or something?
No. Okay, what do we call that in Arabic? عرف. عرف. أي ما هو معروف. What is commonly known in that particular society. So if in the Philippines, for example, a lady of that status, she's from a noble family, she's educated, she's beautiful, usually she will get such amount of dowry. This is the asl. If she gives up or they're nice and they say no worries, no worries. You're not obliged to pay a huge amount. But Allah mentioned in the Quran, if you give them qintar, if you had given them qintar, then you have to, you cannot take anything of it. And qintar is a lot of money. But we know from the Prophet ﷺ that he got married and gave his daughter in marriage, if my memory serves me well, an amount which did not exceed a couple of hundred riyals. The Prophet ﷺ, his own dowry when he got married and when he gave his daughters in marriage, it did not exceed a couple of hundred riyals. Back then, what would be equivalent to a couple of hundred riyals now. So, yani, very economical, which is the sunnah, which is the sunnah. But the problem is when the whole society has become fascinated with huge dowries, that's when there's a pressure on you. But it doesn't mean that you become extravagant in spending that. Rather, you look for a woman who's not trying to, or parents who are not trying to sell their daughter, in other words. وَالْمُسْتَضَعْفِينَ مِنَ الْوِلْدَانِ أي ويفتيكم في المستضعفين من الولدان الصغار. Allah will give you the fatwa when it goes to the young, weak boys. أن تعطوهم حقهم من الميراث وغيره. That you shall give them the right of inheritance money and others. ولا تستولوا على أموالهم على وجه الظلم والاستبداد. And you do not take over or consume their money in a manner where you are oppressive and dictator. Dictatorial way of doing it. Istibdad is like imposing things on people unwillingly for them, willingly for you. Kind of shoving it down their throat, kind of thing. وَأَن تَقُومُوا لِلْيَتَامَ بِالْقِسْطَ أي بِالْعَدْلِ التَّامِ. Now you should maintain the rights of the orphans with extreme perfect justice. وهذا يشمل القيام عليهم بإلزامهم أمر الله وما أوجبه على عباده. And this includes that you maintain them in a sense that you impose on them the amr of Allah, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what He has made obligatory upon His slaves. فيكون الأولياء مكلفين بذلك بما بذلك يلزموهم بما أوجبه الله. So the caretakers of the young boys are the ones who are going to ensure that the kids are acting per the deen of Allah. It's the responsibility of those who are older in regards to the children. ويشمل القيام عليهم في مصالحهم الدنيوية بتنمية أموالهم وطلب الأحظ لهم فيها وألا يقربوها إلا بالتي هي أحسن. And included in maintaining their right in regards to their worldly rights is by growing their wealth, helping their wealth grow, and seeking the best of them in regards to that, and that you do not come anywhere near their wealth except with that which is better, as in that which will bring about prosperity for them, not that which will ruin their money. وكذلك لا يحبون فيهم صديقا ولا غيره في تزوج وغيره على وجه الهضم لحقوقهم. And then you don't absolve their rights in terms of marriage or otherwise because of a friend of yours or something, that you wind up consuming their rights to make your buddy happy. Huh? وَهَذَا مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ تَعَالَى لِبِعِبَادِهِ. This is all a manifestation of Allah's mercy in regards to His slaves. حَيْثُ حَثَّ غَايَةَ الْحَثِّ عَلَى الْقِيَامِ بِمَصَالِحَ مَنْ لَا يَقُومُ بِمَصْلَحَةِ نَفْسِهِ لِضَعْفِهِ وَفَقْدِ أَبِيهِ. Wherein Allah Azza wa Jal encouraged maintaining the rights and what is beneficial to those who are unable to do this for themselves because of the weakness that they have or because of the loss of the father. And this is very important to understand. Yani making a distinction between the Islamic understanding of orphans and the non-Islamic or un-Islamic understanding of orphans. In regular in the world, outside of Islam, what is an orphan? Who is an orphan?
No parents.
No?
Both parents.
Both parents are dead. In Islam?
Only father.
Only father. If the father is dead, and the boy is below the age of discretion, he's an orphan in Islam, even if his mother is alive. Even if his mother is alive. Because the asl is that the mother is not the one who's working and making money and taking care of the family outside the house. It is the father. نعم. ثُمَّ حَثَّ عَلَى الْإِحْسَانِ عُمُومًا. Then Allah encouraged excellence generally. فقال وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ لِلْيَتَامَى وَلِغَيْرِهِمْ. There isn't any goodness which you do, be it to the orphans or others. سَوَاءً كَانَ الْخَيْرَ مُتَعَدِّيًا أَوْ لَازِمًا. Whether the khayr which you do is mutaaddiyan, one which goes beyond you, one which overflows to the others, or laziman, it is restricted to you. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِهِ عَلِيمًا. Verily Allah in regards to that is all-knowing. أَيْ قَدْ أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِعَمَلِ الْعَامِلِينَ لِلْخَيْرِ. Allah's knowledge has encompassed the doers of the deeds of goodness. قِلَّةً وَكَثْرَةً. Whether the deed which the good which they do is minor or major, if it's little or a lot. حَسَنًا وَضِدَّهُ. Whether it is good or the opposite of that. فَيُجَازِي كُلًّا بِحَسَبِ عَمَلِهِ. Allah will recompense each according to his deed. Then we go into another discussion, which is Ayah 128, which reads,
وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَاضًا فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَا بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنْفُسُ الشُّحَّ وَإِنْ تُحْسِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا.
Ayah 128, and if a woman fears from her husband contempt or evasion, there is no sin upon them if they make terms of settlement between them. And settlement is best. And present in human souls is stinginess. But if you do good and fear Allah, then indeed Allah is ever with what you do acquainted.
أي إذا خافت المرأة نشوز زوجها.
So if the woman fears evasion, nushuz is like going off track. It's a form of deviation, okay? Not sticking to the path, not maintaining her rights. He's doing something that is unacceptable Islamically.
If a woman fears that in regards to her husband, أي ترفعه عنها ترفعه عنها وعدم رغبته فيها وإعراضه عنها.
In this sense, what does it mean? That he's too prideful with her, or he has no interest in her, or he's turning away from her. She sees that he's lost her interest. Because some, they just died. She did something, or he's unhappy with her. To him, she's like a couch at home, just like one of the other couches. There's no attraction, there's no concern, there's no khalas. If the woman sees that her husband has reached that stage,
فالأحسن في هذه الحال أن يصلح بينهما صلحا.
What is best for them in this situation is that they have a settlement between them.
بأن تسمح المرأة عن بعض حقوقها اللازمة لزوجها على وجه تبقى مع زوجها.
That she gives up some of her rights which are due to her, in a manner where she gets to remain with him. In a manner where she gets to remain with him.
أما أن ترضى بأقل من الواجب لها من النفقة.
For example, she could say, look, you could spend less. I agree, I settle for less than what is expected in terms of spending. أو الكسوة, or clothing. أو المسكن, or in terms of accommodation. أو القسم, which is the division. If he has more than one wife. So this is, in other words, misyar. Okay, this is where the misyar idea came from. Now that's why the scholars have differed on misyar, but the general principle is that it is allowed
provided that there's a need for it. It shouldn't become the norm. The norm is standard marriage. But there are some people in some situations where really regular marriage is not going to work. And if regular marriage is not going to work, they have no other option. They remain unmarried. Misyar may be a suitable situation. That's why the best fatwa I've come across is each situation requires an independent fatwa. So you won't open the door. Can't open the door. Okay, everybody have misyar marriages. Can't say it's haram. What is sound is, okay, brother, you need, he said, look, here's my situation, A, B, C, D. Let's go to a sheikh. Yeah, sheikh, fulan, this is his situation. That's what he's going through. Is that okay? Would that be Islamically legal and lawful for him to get married in this fashion? Then the sheikh will give him a particular fatwa for a situation.
But should be the sheikh, he should know the situation of the lady?
Both.
Or both?
Yes. Yes, of course. Because sometimes, I mean, to see if it's something that is good Islamically. Because sometimes some of the rights are consumed in the name of I'm giving up my rights. Sometimes it's the right of Allah, not even the right of the person. So you can't open the door for every Tom, Dick, and Harry to have nisyah. Refer to the. It doesn't have to be that the lady's there. The man can explain on her behalf. This is her situation, her, you know, blah, blah, blah. He tells him what's up. Then the sheikh will give him a fatwa. Yeah, you go ahead and do it.
So that's why I understand now, because I heard and I know some brothers, that I know them for a long time, that they go for this misyah. So I'm expecting myself that, how did he go misyah? I cannot see the situation for them both. So, I cannot judge them.
Correct, you cannot.
No.
Is it related to the man who is ordinary and over the years he lost interest, like in the case of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam?
No.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, that applies here.
So, how come that the Messiah is, you know, before they get married?
The principle, brother. The principle is there. The principle is, you're right. The principle is, look at what the Sheikh said. بأن تسمح المرأة عن بعض حقوقها اللازمة. That the woman gives up some of her rights. يعني a woman, she's interested in this particular man to marry. طيب, and this man, he's not really in a situation financially to be able to marry her. But she really believes that he's a good husband for her and he has good qualities, good character, religiously committed. She can come and say, okay, my right is that you spend half of the days with me and you spend on me and so on and so forth. I don't want that. Okay, I'm okay with 2 days a week. Okay, and I'm okay, I'll pay for my own rent. I'm rich, I got money. ما في مشكلة. Because the principle is, she is giving up some of her rights. She could demand otherwise, and he would have to abide. But she gave up her rights. In Islam, you have the right to give up your right, not the right of Allah. This is her right. She says, I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm happy with 2 days a week. To me, you are a better husband than some other guy who I have to spend every day with. Because I haven't come across a righteous man, whatever her situation may be. ما في مشكلة, brother. No problem at all. Provided that the situation is presented to a scholar. I'm just giving you the principle. Now, the scholar will be able to go through the fine points and see whether there's other, ulterior intentions and motives which may prevent that marriage from taking place. He may advise otherwise. That's why it's a scholar who can evaluate the situation and give a fatwa. But we're speaking about the general permissibility of it. It's based on this principle. And I've, you know, the fatwa is on Islam QA, lengthy fatwa. About the where it came from and whether it is legal or not, it is. Because it's real marriage. It's not like buta'a. You know, let's meet for a couple of days or for a couple of hours, have sex in other words, and then everybody goes away. No, this is zawaj. This is formal zawaj with children and everything being involved in the process, usually. So it is not like any other Shia kind of marriage. Clear? Anyways, read the fatwa in Islam QA. It's very lengthy, very beneficial. نعم بأن تسقط حقها منه أو تهب يومها وليلتها لزوجها أو لضرتها. Listen to this now. And she may also give up some of her rights, such as giving her day and night. Doesn't she deserve for him to divide his time? Like some of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, they would give their day to Aisha. She gives up her day and night to another wife, to the second wife. ما في مشكلة. Go spend time with her. but don't divorce me. Because he's not interested in her anymore. So instead of them living a life of unhappiness, and a man being sexually uninterested in that wife, which usually may lead to what? Divorce. Right? Divorce and marry a younger one. That is the attitude. Islam does not really like divorce. It's allowed, but it is not the most pleasant thing in the deen. Not based on the hadith. There's a hadith that is da'if. أَبْغَضُ الْحَلَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ. The most hated halal thing to Allah is divorce. This is a weak hadith. But from the ayat and the other hadith, we understand it is not something which is encouraged in and of itself. So, that is, you see the mercy? طيب, you're no longer interested in me, but you know, come on. We've been with each other for so many years, and divorce is not going to be good for either one of us. ما في مشكلة. Get a second wife, and you know, spend more time with her, and whatever, but you know, we maintain our marriage. Now, what would that make the man do? Will he be happy or sad? Be happy, man. He's going to treat her how? Nicely. Huh? Yeah. You're Mia Mia. I wish there were more women like you in the world. Huh? There's a love. Then he loves her again. He forgets about the second one.
If this is the attitude of the woman, the man gets more impressive to her and love her because she understands the situation with the
Deen of Islam. Abdul Hadi is the expert in the field of love and relationships, mashallah.
I'm looking for it.
May Allah make it easy for you. طيب. So how did I get here? We always go off track, guys. Whenever we speak about women, psh, the mind, you know, deviates from the path. نعم. فإذا اتفقا على هذه الحالة فلا جناح ولا بأس عليهما فيها. If they both agree to these terms, there's no harm, no sin on either one of them in regards to that. لا عليها ولا على زوج. Neither upon her nor on the husband. فيجوز حينئذ لزوجها البقاء معها. Then it is permissible for her husband to remain with her. على هذه الحال, in that condition. وهو خير من الفرقة or فرقة. If you don't know this, والله I will get upset. Because we took this in the Aqidah class just the other day. We dealt with فرقة and فرقة. يا بوي. Yes, the one which you never attend. But you listen to the audio files, right? Furqa, firqa. Now, which one is this here? Huh? وَهِيَ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْفِرْقَةِ أَوْ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْفُرْقَةِ طول بالك يا نايف. عاد انت سعودي. He should understand. Not everybody would understand, by the way. Come on, guys. What is the difference between firqa and furqa? You remember Family Feud? You guys never watched Family Feud back in before Islam? Wow. I must have been a lame person back in the day.
Survey said.
Yes. Man, you know, the big X, Bab. That was a good show, man. At least in terms of general knowledge. Until they got this guy, this current guy. It's all about sex now. A'udhu Billah. All their episodes about, you know, stupid questions. Anyways, I'm not going to go there. So here it is. Furqa, Abdul Majid. Firqa is group. Furqa is division. Furqa. Remember Furqan? Do you remember the word Furqan? What is a Furqan? The Quran. Why? Because it does what? It divides between truth and falsehood. So you will not forget in the future, remember, okay, Furqan, Furqa. Furqa means division. Firqa means sect. Group. Huh? وَهِيَ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْفُرْقَةِ. It is better than division between a man and a wife here. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. And settlement is good. ويؤخذ من عموم هذا اللفظ والمعنى أن الصلح بين من بينهما حق أو منازعة في جميع الأشياء أنه خير من استقصاء كل منهما على كل حقه لما فيها من الإصلاح وبقاء الألفة أو الإلفة والألفة والاتصال بصفة السماح. طيب, the Sheikh said we understand from the general meaning of the words and the meaning of the word sulh, settlement, that sulh is better is better. In regards to in any type of dispute, in any type of dispute or division, settlement is better. And that it is better than people getting the retribution of their rights from one another. Because in settlement, there's a harmony and there's compassion and forbearance. So you kind of being kind to the other person. وَهُوَ جَائِزٌ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَشْيَاءِ. And it is permissible to apply settlement in all matters. إِلَّا إِذَا أَحَلَّ حَرَامًا أَوْ حَرَّمَ حَلَالًا. Except if it winds up making halal what is haram, or making haram what is halal. If the settlement will lead to making haram what Allah made halal, or making halal what Allah made haram, mafi. It's haram to do a settlement. But as long as you're not dealing with making halal haram and haram halal, settlement is better. Work it out. Work it out instead of division. It's always better. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَكُونُ صُلْحًا. Because if we were to do this, then it is not considered a form of sulh. It is no longer a form of settlement if it's going to make halal haram or haram halal. وَإِنَّمَا يَكُونُ جُورًا. Rather, it will be a form of transgression or oppression. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ كُلَّ حُكْمٍ مِنَ الْأَحْكَامِ لَا يَتُمُّ وَلَا يَكْمُلُ إِلَّا بِوُجُودِ مُقْتَضَيْهِ وانتفاء موانعه مقتضيه وانتفاء موانعه. Know that there isn't a ruling from among the rules except there isn't a ruling from among the rules. No rule will be complete until what necessitates it is present and what negates it is absent. Whatever may contradict it is absent. فَمِنْ ذَٰلِكَ هَذَا الْحُكْمُ الْكَبِيرُ الَّذِي هُوَ صُلْحٌ. Among that is this great issue, which is the issue of settlement. فَذَكَرَ تَعَالَى الْمُقْتَدِي لِذَٰلِكَ. Allah mentioned, what is it that can bring about this form of settlement? وَنَبَّهَ عَلَى أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ. Then Allah mentioned that it is good. وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّ عَاقِلٍ يَطْلُبُهُ وَيَرْغَبُ فِيهِ. And good is something which every sound person seeks and wishes for. فَإِنْ كَانَ مَعْ ذَلِكَ قَدْ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَحَثَّ عَلَيْهِ. Then if already we are predisposed to like goodness and to seek goodness, and further we have been commanded by Allah Azza wa Jal and encouraged to do it, إِزْدَادَ الْمُؤْمِنُ طَلَبًا لَهُ وَرَغْبَةً فِيهِ. The believer will have even more desire to seek it and to desire it. More intent or more demand for it. وَذَكَرَ الْمَانِعَ. Then Allah mentioned, what is it that prevents people from settlement? What is it that prevents people from settlement? وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ. And present in the souls of human beings is stinginess. Stinginess, man. Everybody wants to be happy for themselves. They're not willing to sacrifice for the other. أَيْ جُبِلَتُ النُّفُوسُ عَلَى الشُّحْ. Souls have been predisposed to be stingy. وهو عدم الرغبة في بذل ما على الإنسان. And which is the idea of not having the desire to exert what is expected, what is needed. والحرص على الحق الذي له. And for the person only to be keen on whatever benefit it is for him only. We often do this. الله يغفر لنا. فالنفوس مجبولة على ذلك طبعا. Souls are predisposed like that. You just want things for yourself. أي فينبغي لكم أن تحرصوا على قلع هذا الخلق الدنيء من نفوسكم. So it's Allah, as if Allah is telling us, you need to work hard on removing, on uprooting this kind of quality from yourselves. Huh? Which is only me, 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 me. وتستبدلوا به ضده. And that you exchange it with the opposite. وهو السماحة. Which is forbearance. Or سماحة is like being easygoing, being giving, being kind. وَهُوَ بَذْلُ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي عَلَيْكَ وَالْإِقْتِنَاعُ بِبَعْضِ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي لَكَ. Which is to exert whatever right is upon you and to be satisfied and content with the haqq which is against you. Yani the rights of people over you, acknowledge them. فَمَتَى وُفِّقَ الْإِنسَانِ هَذَا الْخُلُقُ الْحَسَنِ. Whenever the human being has been granted success by Allah to have this kind of good quality, سهل حينئذ عليه الصلح بينه وبين خصمه ومعامله. It becomes easy for him then to bring about a settlement between himself and his opponent and the one he's dealing with. وتسهلت الطريق للوصول إلى المطلوب, and it becomes easier to acquire what is needed, what is demanded. بخلاف من لم يشتهد في إزالة الشح من نفسه. Unlike the one who doesn't strive to remove the stinginess from himself, فإنه يعسر عليه صرح الموافقة. It becomes difficult for him to settle for anything and to agree upon anything. لأنه لا يرضي إلا جميع ما له. He's never happy unless everything which is his is given to him. ولا يرضى أن يؤدي ما عليه. And he's not happy. He's not pleased to give what is upon him, which is the rights of others. فإن كان خصمه مثله اشتد له. But if his opponent is like him, خربت. It becomes a calamity. You want everything for yourself and he wants everything for himself, and the fish is the the victim. ثم قال وإن تحسنوا وتتقوا. We're almost there, guys. Don't sleep. وإن تحسنوا وتتقوا. If you excel and you have taqwa, أي تحسنوا في عبادة الخالق. If you observe excellence in worship of the Creator, بأن يعبد يعبد العبد ربه كأنه يراه. That the slave worships Allah as if he can see him. فإن لم يكن يراه فإنه يراه. But if he cannot reach that level, remember that Allah sees him. وتحسنوا إلى المخلوقين بجميع طرق الإحسان. And that you deal with excellence and you deal with in goodness with all of the creation in all possible ways. من نفع بالمال, benefiting people with wealth, أو علم, or with the knowledge you have, أو جاه, أو غير ذلك, or with a position or status which you hold, or other than that. وتتقوا الله بفعل جميع المأمورات. And you fear Allah by doing everything which has been commanded. وتركوا جميع المحظورات. And leaving all that which has been prohibited. أو تحسنوا بفعل المأمور وتتقوا بترك المحظور. Or that it is, the ayah could mean أحسنوا وإن تحسنوا وإن تحسنوا وتتقوا, meaning تحسنوا by doing all that which is commanded, تتقوا by leaving all that which is forbidden. فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. Verily Allah in regards to that which you're doing is well acquainted. أي قد أحاط به علما وخبرا بظاهره وباطنه. فيحفظه لكم ويجازيكم عليه أتم الجزاء. So Allah has encompassed in knowledge and in acquaintance outwardly and inwardly. So He will preserve that deed for you. He will record it and He will recompense you for it in the most complete and equal and fair recompense. And inshallah, with that we conclude. Next week, inshallah, we'll be dealing with more of the issues pertaining to women and marital problems and domestic confrontations and things related to that topic. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.